There was definitely something that happened to these people that was earth-shattering and completely has shaken up their lives.
If you want access to the best real ghost stories,
I think she was afraid that they were going to make her little friend go away.
Real accounts of the dead coming back to life.
She had a spirit that she had gotten very close with.
Real video and images of ghosts.
A little boy.
Then you need to be an extra podcast person, also known as an EPP. Sign up to be one for only $5 a month at ghostpodcast.com.
I stared transfixed as the mist began to gradually become more solid and translucent, and to my shock, more human in appearance.
Your support is what keeps our show on the air. For only $5, you'll have access to hundreds of EPP exclusive episodes, updated weekly, exclusive video content, and more.
Behind me in my kitchen, I hear a little girl say, "Are you my daddy? Where's my daddy?"
Keep us on the air and get access to the best ghost stories and more now at ghostpodcast.com. And thanks for your support.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That indeed it is. The phone number 855-853-4802 to share your real ghost story with us. You can write it on our website, realghoststoriesonline.com. Email your audio file if you're recording it on your device, Tony, T-O-N-Y, at realghoststoriesonline.com. Or interact with us on social media, Facebook, where a lot of folks chatting about the shows and giving their feedback. Just look up at realghoststoriesonline.com there. Twitter at Ghost Story Radio. Instagram at Ghost Podcast. And Snapchat, we're there as well, at Ghost Podcast. So lots of places to interact with us. Tony and Jenny Bruschi joining you once again.
Hi.
And how are you this fine day?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. I think it's probably time to mention this because I'm probably by the time you hear this, you'll already know about it because I'm going to put a different message out there, but it's good to start interspersing this onto this show. The project of working on another show. And we actually have two different things in the works, but this one first we're going to do another show. Another show is in the works, kind of a once a week thing to begin with.
Uh-huh.
And it's not too far off of our current topic, but it doesn't always have to pertain to ghosts. It is going to pertain to dreams. Now that can certainly have ghosts mixed in there if you like, but it's not always just about that. It's called Dream Meanings, and the website is dreamingradio.com. That's where you can submit your dream story. There's also going to be an 800 number, which you'll find on that website if you'd like to call it in. So same sort of setup as this show goes, but it's more so analyzing and giving feedback as to what your dreams may mean. Now, this is not from a doctoral standpoint or a medical standpoint. It's not to replace therapy or anything like that. It's just more of a, what do you get out of this from people who are not your family, are not, you know, your friends on a regular basis, that you may get a bit of a skewed opinion.
Sure.
On what the dream may mean. It's just from a complete third party. We talk about the dreams and read the stories and listen to how that dream went and then give you some feedback. And it's not going to 100% be paranormal based. In fact, the majority of it's probably not.
No.
There may be aspects of it here and there where I say, there may be something else going on there. But a lot of it more so probably from a psychological, this may be why this is coming out type standpoint. So if you've ever had a strange dream, if you do have a dream, it doesn't even have to be right now. It can be something that happened years and years ago. And you're going, I really wonder what that was all about. Then by all means, submit it over to us at dreamingradio.com for the new podcast, Dream Meanings, which we'll be launching at a date to be announced. Right now it's putting all this stuff together, getting some episodes built, and then we'll announce when that will actually go live. But next couple of months,
yeah,
should be hitting.
Well, so often we get stories that really don't have enough paranormal in them to put on this show,
mm-hmm.
but they're terrifying nightmares nonetheless.
Yeah.
So they're perfect for the other show.
Yeah, and I have to also say, nightmares are certainly welcome. It doesn't have to be that, though.
Sure.
It doesn't have to be a nightmare. It can just be, what do you get out of this? I mean, it doesn't even have to be super strange. It could just be, here's what happened. I don't get how this correlates to this and that. And then we'll chat about it. I mean, it's one of those things where even before I did the ghost show, this is just my opinion. I thought I was pretty good at interpreting some of that stuff, doing the ghost show. We've done a lot more of that stuff, mm-hmm. but it's been more paranormal based. So it's kind of a fun little project.
Yeah.
We'll see how it goes. So check that out. And do submit, if you got a dream story, submit it over there. I bet there's a lot of folks who've had a dream story that went, I wish I could get some feedback on that, but it's not paranormal based, so I have no place to put it. So there you go. It's kind of like the outlet we have here, but for dreams. So there you go. Check it out. Dreamingradio.com is the website for that. And right now it's just a page.
Uh-huh.
Just a page where you can submit your story. So there you go. Check that out. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your experiences with us. Let's go to our first caller. Hi, you're on the air.
Hey, Tony and Jenny. It's Janine from Louisiana. And I'm calling in because I wanted to respond to a recent podcast story by a listener. I think his name is Nichols, I'm pretty sure. And he is from Arizona, if I'm correct. And he brought up a really interesting point about not hearing much about astral projection, and he was talking about his experiences, and I just wanted to share my experiences with him and other and your listeners in hopes that he will feel like he's not alone, and all of us have all these stories that we're now finally being able to tell, and I'm very excited about it. So, I've been told that I leave my body by a human and a ghost. I guess I'll call her a ghost guide. And so I'll start with that ghost guide story first. And that was probably about 25 years ago. I was about 25 or so. Yeah, 25 years ago. And I lived at that time in these old, renovated, turn of the century, they were old apartments, old summer homes in Cincinnati, Ohio, in this little area called Clifton. And I had written in about this particular building at one point because there were all kinds of stories about these buildings. There were two buildings, and there were all kinds of talk about them, the haunting and all that. And I had lived at this point, I was living in one of the old maids' quarters, which were really very top of the one building. So I was literally in the attic. And so when I, kind of between that sleep and awake stage, that I guess it's called hypnagogia, that stage where you're kind of conscious and aware, but not quite, and I started to feel this weird, like, feeling in my body, like a tingling and like a lifting. And then it woke me up, brought me to a point of, like, I sat up, and when I sat up, there was this woman, maybe older middle-aged woman, late middle-aged woman, sitting in the chair that was by my bed. And she had very dark, very tightly curled brown hair. She was short. She had on, like, some tan beige pantsuit with a scarf. And she looked at me and said, "Where do you think you're going? Get back in your body." And then she pointed, she had this big citrine ring. The stone was called citrine. And a citrine stone is a yellowish rock, stone, crystal that is said to hold lots of power for prosperity, abundance, personal strength and power, warding off negativity. And so she pointed this citrine ring at me, and I knew it was a citrine because I had spent many years studying gemology. We had a family jewelry business, so I recognized what the stone was. So she's pointing this ring at me, and she said, "Get back into your body." And then in my mind's eye, all of a sudden, we were walking through a cavern And we came to this point in the cave where I could go down one cave hallway or go down the other cave hallway, and we were just kind of right in the middle of it. And she said to me, "You have a lot of power within you." She said, "You just need to learn how to use it." And I said, "But I want to use it for God." And she said, "You're very powerful." And then all these books, like these books just start coming at me. They were like kind of like flying at me, and I was grabbing them out of the air. And at that time in my life, I was considering going back to graduate school for my master's, going back to school for my master's degree. And I was in a dead-end job and just thinking about it. So all of a sudden I wake up and I'm back in my bed and I'm kind of at full consciousness, that sense of being back in my body. And so fast forward about 20 or so years, about 5 years ago, I was having a reading with a psychic, and this psychic is pretty well known in our area, New Orleans. She's very legitimate. A lot of people trust her. And so I was sitting with her in her office, and she started to, like, shimmer in front of me. Like, I couldn't quite focus on her or her face. I just couldn't quite see her. She was, like, going in and out of focus. And I started feeling this, like, weird tingling feeling again. And she said to me, where are you going?" And I said, "I mean, what do you mean?" She's like, "Well, you're leaving your body. Where are you going?" And I said, I don't know. I said, "How do you know that? How can you tell that I'm leaving my body?" And she said, "Because I can see it. I can see your energy. I can see you, your energy lifting up out of your body." And at that point, some of the stuff of the past, all the years, made sense to me. That when I would see things and I felt like I couldn't quite look at them, or people when they were talking, or objects, that maybe it was because of that. Things would start to shimmer in front of me, or I'd feel like this weird tingling feeling, and, you know, either a headache, migraine, or seizure, right? But, so she continued to tell me that I had done that my whole life, since I was very young, that I'm very good at just leaving my body at any time, just going out, traveling around, and coming on back without anyone knowing, I guess, including myself. And I guess that would be a good excuse if I got pulled over by the police for speeding or something, that I wasn't in my body. But she said, "You've been doing it for a really long time." And so I just wanted to share that in the hopes that, again, Nicholas and others who've had these experiences don't feel scared of them, or that they're alone, and that, interestingly, we all can learn to vibrate a certain frequencies in our physical body. So I guess I was told by a corporal entity and a non-corporal entity that I leave my body and astral project. So there's that, and thanks again for all that you do. Thank you so much for offering this forum, for this space, for all of us to share this. I feel like I've come out, so to speak, of my experiences in my life. I'm freely talking about them to family and friends who I never would have told before I started listening to your podcast, and being a very, very proud EPP. Thanks again. Have a really great day. Bye-bye.
I just want to break into, "I've got the power!" And then we need, like, to start hitting the cowbell really quick, because that's kind of how that song goes.
But, you know, it's... you can have the power, but if you don't know how to turn it on and off, it's kind of like, oh, crap.
I got the power!
Yeah.
Is this how I'm just going to... you're going to state a observation, and then in between it, I'm just going to shout, "I've got the power," and that's how the feedback on that story is going to go. I've got the power!
I didn't even say anything, and you did it.
That's how it starts.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
then.
Well, I think, you know, it might be interesting if she kept some kind of a journal about what she was doing or what she was thinking about, or how she was... I know you're chomping at the bit to do it, but just chill. But anyway, if she could keep some kind of a register to figure out when she's doing it or when she's not, or what brings it on.
I got the power!
Okay.
Next line.
No.
No, that's how it goes. It's like a verse back and forth.
I've said what I need to say.
Everybody dance now. Wrong song.
You Shit. Are like 30 third graders without Ritalin.
I liked her story because it kind of gave a little bit more insight into what, and I know she mentioned the listener's name who did the original story.
Yeah, Nick in Arizona.
It's, you know, some more insight. It's kind of like you're not alone.
No.
I won't sing it again.
Thank you. And the thing is, I wonder how often we see ghosts and they're not actually dead.
You mean like they're people? Like that story we had a long time ago, the campfire lady?
Yeah.
I think it's quite frequent.
Yeah, it's just kind of, it's like, if they look like they're from right now,
mm-hmm.
maybe not. If they look like they're from 200 years ago, pretty good chance they're dead.
One of my favorite things is the pictures that you see sometimes online where it's like the time traveler photos. And some of them can very easily be debunked. And it looks like, oh, they're holding a cell phone. And it's like, well, actually, there was a device that they used at that time. And, you know, it was for combing hair, but it kind of resembled a, you know.
Yeah.
This thing where it's like, oh, it's an obscure thing. But some are just really weird. Have you ever looked at some of those?
Yeah, but I always figured they were just fake.
No. Some are like pretty, you can look, it's like in history books, uh-huh. You know, and you can timestamp it. Some are BS, mm-hmm. So you got to kind of do your, you know, I wouldn't just do a search and then, you know, here's 10 crazy images from history, you know, because a lot of those are BS. But there are some that are just like, what the hell?
Yeah.
Like, especially the fashion. And there's always been people dressing of a different era, even into the future, what people may think. So there's an element of that out there. But some of the stuff, it's like, wait a second, those are Air Jordans. And this picture is from 1874. You know, it's like,
wow.
It's
like Back to the Future is based on a true story.
Well, I mean, there's elements of that out there. And it's really, that's always been kind of fascinating to me. It's like, and I wonder if that has, it's not necessarily a, you know, I guess an element. Yes, there is a time traveler element to it, certainly. But is that also an element of some sort of astral projection, too? Mm-hmm. Not that these people necessarily, because I think the thought is they jumped into a time machine or knew how to travel through time through a time machine. How much of that is some sort of astral projection almost, maybe in a dream state or something where it's they, you know, the person who's in the picture has no idea that they are being caught on this picture. And they think they're just dreaming in the current time. And it happened, you know, it's a weird mix sure. It in time. I wonder how often that happens because there's people have dreams all the time where it's like, oh, I dreamt it was, you know, I was in the 40s mm-hmm. and they never were in the, like, they were born in 88.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, well, how do you know all that about that time? And pretty detailed stuff, not just, you know, I watched a show or a movie from mm-hmm. the time period. I mean, there's a lot of ways to fill in those blanks, but I wonder how much of it is just like that with the astral projection of somebody seeing someone in current time in a different plane. How much of it could be into a different time.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think Doc ever thought of that.
No.
On Back to the Future. 855-853-4802. Our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Hi.
Hi, Tony and Jenny. My name is John from Chandler, Arizona. Found your podcast, oh, probably last year sometime. And I've been a faithful listener ever since. Really enjoy, you know, tuning in and listening to everyone's ghost stories. I'm the type of guy who, you know, I believe it when I see it. Let's put it that way. I love listening to ghost stories. You know, since I wasn't there, who am I to judge one way or the other? Hard for me to believe a lot of things unless I experience it. You know, that being said, I've had a lot of crazy experiences with the paranormal that I'd like to share. I know. I've joined ghost groups, like ghost hunting groups in the past, simply because I want to be the guy who debunks it, who basically says that, no, there's no such thing as ghosts. Here's why. You know, that way, if we're left with evidence, that's real evidence. Anyway, I'm also an actor and a stunt fighter. I've been acting since kindergarten. I do stunts and choreography, and I act both on stage and on screen. And so you can imagine that, being an actor, I'm in quite a few different theaters at different times in my life. And they say that every theater is haunted. You know, so being around theaters kind of lends itself to some pretty interesting stories. And here's one of the very first experiences I had with anything paranormal. One of the very first, you know, ghost encounters that I ever experienced. In high school, I was cast in a musical, and rehearsals typically went after school from around dinner time till about 10 o'clock in the evening sometimes. I was helping my friend Matt lock up after a rehearsal one evening. He was the head technician, you know, of, among the students at the theater. And I was one of the main actors. He was giving me a ride home. So we made sure that everyone was out, and then we locked up. One of our duties before we lock up is to, you know, to kind of do rounds, make sure that the space is unoccupied. There's nobody should be in the school. And then, you know, turn off all the lights and lock up. So I was helping him lock up after rehearsal one day. You know, and we just finished our rounds. Nobody was in the theater. And so we turn on what's called a ghost light in the middle of the stage. And we turn off all the rest of the lights, and we lock up, and we take off. Now, ghost light's an interesting thing. There's a lot of superstition behind a ghost light. But a ghost light primarily is for safety. And it's just like a single light bulb on a pedestal. That's the only light on in a theater after all the lights are turned off. You can imagine that if all the lights are off in the theater, it is very, very dark. You can barely see your hand in front of your face. So we typically put a ghost light on in the middle of the stage. That way, if you are the first one into the theater in the morning or in the day, and you want to turn the lights on, you can walk across the stage without bumping your shins or knocking over and destroying the set. Or in this particular case, we had an orchestra pit downstage that if you walk too far, you're going to fall into the orchestra pit. So we want to make sure that that's illuminated so people wouldn't, you know, break their necks. So that being said, that's a ghost light. So our job is you turn on the ghost light, you lock up, you leave. Piece of cake. Well, we locked up. Ghost lights on. My buddy Matt forgot his backpack in the theater. So he unlocks the theater. I'm waiting just right outside the door, and I'm waiting for him to get his backpack. And all of a sudden I heard this loud crash followed by loud swearing. And so I went into the theater, obviously wanting to know if he was okay. You know, obviously he ran into the set or something happened. The ghost light was turned on. But it was on top of the piano down in the orchestra pit. Well, I found out from my buddy that he had walked into the theater. The ghost light had been turned off somehow. As he kind of felt his way onto the stage to where he knew it was supposed to be, he figured the light had just been burned out. So he was going to replace the light bulb. And he saw, you know, as he's making his way across the stage, he sees the outline of what he thinks is the ghost light. And so he makes his way toward it, knowing it's center stage. And it had been moved from the stage about probably 5 feet through midair onto the top of the piano that was in the orchestra pit. So he was actually walking toward the pit, seeing this outline of this light that was off. He reached for the light, and obviously he fell into the pit before he could reach the light. Lucky for him, he landed well. He was fine, a little banged up, but didn't break any bones, nothing like that. So he turned on the light that was now on the piano, and that's when I showed up, and we saw this thing. And he told his tale to me then that, you know, somehow within probably... Man, I would say no more than a minute and a half from when we turned on the light, took off, locked the door, and he went back in. That light had been turned off and had been moved to the center of the orchestra pit. So that is my very first ghost story. That's my first theater ghost encounter that I've experienced. I have quite a few more and a lot of other experiences outside of that as well that I'll share with you some other time. Again, thank you for this wonderful outlet. You guys do a great job. It's very entertaining. Thank you very much for everything that you do. Have a great day, and I'll be calling in soon. Thanks.
I love a good theater ghost story because mm-hmm. most theaters... no pun intended, have a lot of drama, not just on stage, but things that go on, you know, mm-hmm. actors not getting along or parts not, you know, there's all kinds of stuff that goes on.
Sure.
Just like human drama, not just on the stage. So I think that adds to the ability of a place to hold more energy.
I agree. I think it feeds it. It welcomes it. It's like a nest. Mm-hmm. It's a drama nest.
A drama nest. Yes. Okay.
Mary J. Blige would say no more drama. That's my early 2000s R&B reference of the day.
Okay.
You'll get more of those shortly.
Okay.
Good times. Thank you for the story. I love the imagery of just the single light in the theater. I saw some neat pictures of a theater, the theater from my hometown that got torn down about a couple years ago. It's called the Retlaw, which is also the Retlaw Hotel, which we've talked about, but it's not the same building, same owner originally, and right down the road, but a really beautiful, ornate theater in its time, and really was up until the end, until it was not a movie theater anymore. It was originally they had the orchestra pit, they had the big stage. It was a town's theater, and it was really cool. And some pictures have recently surfaced online of it when it's in its being torn down state, which is really kind of creepy because it's just like the walls ripped out, but you can still see like the orchestra pit, the stage, and all the ornate designs and the side, the balconies, and oh, it was cool. And it really kind of made me upset because I was just thinking, damn, you know, architectural salvage.
Oh, no kidding.
Was so not taken advantage of when I'm looking at these pictures, because there were so many pieces that, you know, and just like corbels and different things that really, I mean, yeah, probably not the most common thing you'd put in someone's home, but my God, people would buy these things. And I would have bought one if I would have known I could have. And you just to have and to place around because they were so neat. But it looks like from the pictures I saw, like, oh, it's going to go knock that shit down, which is just so depressing.
Yeah, it really is.
I'm happy we're living in a date and time now where that sort of stuff has become respected, and is actually so embraced. Because, I mean, really, honestly, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, it was starting to catch on around 5 years ago. Now, at least, I think there's a lot more people out there who, when they find out their historic hometown theater is being torn down, are much more vigilant to go, shit, wait a second, can I get anything out of here?
Oh, yeah.
You know, I'll pay you for it. It's not just I'm going to scrap this out, but I'll give whoever's buying it, make some money, let me go get it. Just from all the TV shows and everything, people are much more vigilant on it, which is cool, but it also makes you look back and go, that's really kind of sad, because what percentage of, you know, things from our childhood and far beyond are no longer in existence where that did not take place?
Yeah.
So many things just lost to trash heaps.
Well, and you know me, I don't bring home stray dogs. I bring home stray architectural items or antiques, and that's my thing. And yeah, I wish more people would do that, even if they don't want to keep it, get it and then sell it, because there's a huge demand for things like that.
It's like a two-way market for it. Either you can use it yourself and love it, or trust me, someone else will. And usually someone who's going to tear something down, if you can get it out of there, they'll give it to you for pretty cheap, you know, if not just take it and get it out and, you know, make a buck or two and save a piece of history, because it's
make a whole show out of that.
Yeah. What an idea.
Yeah.
So that's it was just kind of neat to see that, neat and sad all at the same time. Yeah. But it was cool to get one last glimpse into that theater. So 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Hi.
Hey, Tony and Jenny. This is Josh from Trenton, Ohio. Just wanted to call first to say, really dig the podcast. Helps me get through my work day, as a lot of other people have said. Okay, I'm just going to jump in here and start my story here. Grew up in the Cincinnati area. In 2003, I got married and built a house with my wife in Trenton, Ohio, which is, you know, 40 minutes north of Cincinnati. It's mostly farmland. All flat. When we built the house, we've We moved in. Nothing ever really happened. 2007, my daughter was born, and, you know, first year or so was great. Then, you know, as she got, you know, a year and a half, she began to talk, stuff like that. We noticed, you know, she had the imaginary friend, of course, and it's like, well, you know, lots of kids have that. You know, she's 2 and 3, and she's talking about Eloise, you know, blaming Eloise for this, extra, you know, snacks for Eloise. What about Eloise for this? You know, wanting to include Eloise in a lot of activities, and we just thought that was normal. Well, she had also began talking about, you know, things during the night. She would mention in the morning, that little boy chasing her back to her room again, that boy that wears the blue. And I'd ask her, well, what do you mean the boy that wears the blue? What, you know, I'd ask her, explain a little bit what's going on. She'd say, oh, I left my room and, you know, to get some water. And, that boy in the blue just chased me back to my room. And she said, it's no big deal. I think he just wants to play with us. And I'd say, he just wants to play with us. And she'd say, yeah, me and Eloise think he just wants to play. Which is like, you know, you feel terrible about it, but, you know, that stuff kind of really creeps me out, you know? So, you know, I've always had a relationship with my daughter where she can tell me anything. I always tell her, you know, you can tell me anything, sweetheart. You know, every time she says, Dad, can I tell you something? I'd say, you can tell me anything. And, you know, I remember back when she's 2 and 3 telling me about, you know, things, you know, like that going on and just feeling creeped out. And I remember saying to her, like, at one point, like, you know, don't tell Dad stuff like that. You know, it's creeping me out. And then, you know, of course, I immediately told her, no, you know, I don't mean that. You know, you can tell me about anything, you know. So I've always, you know, felt bad about saying that to her that once. So, you know, she's, you know, moved on now. She'll be 10 actually next month. And if you talk to her about it now, she doesn't remember it at all. She doesn't remember having an imaginary friend or anything about the boy chasing her to her room, you know, on a nightly basis. At one point she'd talk about it, but, you know, now she doesn't, you know, remember it at all. Well, in 2011, sorry about that. In 2011, my son was born, and now he is 5 now, and I guess when he was about 4, he started talking about seeing some things, maybe, you know, some of the things he would talk about. Me and my wife would be like, ooh, what's going on, you know, just certain things he would say. And then I remember one time my wife and my daughter were out, you know, shopping, and I was home with my son, and, you know, sports were on. We was watching football. He loves watching football with me. We go back, and, you know, during halftime, and I go, let's go back and, you know, fold some laundry up for mommy. And we go back to the bedroom, and I'm folding laundry up, and he goes across the hall to his room, and I see he's got his game on. He wants to play his game. That's fine. And then he comes running into my room, and he's terrified, and he's hiding under the blankets and saying, she's in there. She's in there again. And I said, well, what's going on? And he says, you know, she's in there dancing. She won't stop dancing. She's dancing in the corner again. And I say, you know, a split second, I'm thinking, you know, why is my daughter in his room? Why is she in there bugging him? She hardly ever goes in there. And then, it clicked, like, no, she's not even home. She's with my wife shopping, rather. So I can't, you know, I'm like, who's in there? And he says to me, Louise, she's in there dancing again. And I felt like so, like, terrified inside. But you can't show that to your children, you know? And I'm like, well, what's she doing, buddy? And he's like, she's just twirling in the corner. You know, he tells me. And I'm like, well, you can stay in here with me. Don't worry about it. I'm sure she'll be done soon. Like, I don't know how to handle stuff like that, you know? And it's just like, he says her name is Louise. And for him to say that, you know, 4 years later after my daughter is saying, you know, her imaginary friend is Eloise. And I realize Eloise and Louise, that's pretty darn close. It just really freaks me out, you know? So, you know, he mentioned stuff every once in a while, but not, you know, at the same rate that my daughter was experiencing things. I hope that doesn't escalate any. Also, just a side thing, about, I'd say about 3 months after that happened with my son, I had a garage service company come service my garage door. Wasn't working properly, so he came up to fix it, and he's out in the garage, you know, fixing it and stuff. And when I came out to see how everything was going, and you know, see what the damage was as far as a bill goes, you know, I got to talking to him, and he said that he didn't realize, you know, my house was in that area, and that he had grew up in the area and didn't realize that that was, those homes were back there. And I said, yeah, we built in 2003, you know, they built this. And he goes, oh yeah, they're, and he starts looking around, he does a little, you know, twirl, and he goes, they're used to, you know, because all I can see when I look out my windows is farmland. All I see is corn, and, you know, I have a couple neighbors, but, you know, there's not much in the area. And we're real close to the river, and there's some streams and stuff. And he looks around, and he goes, used to be a cemetery right around here. Like, almost out of a, you know, a movie or something, a horrible movie. And I said, please don't tell me that. And he said, yeah, we used to go looking for arrowheads back here, you know, when we were kids. There used to be a little cemetery around here someplace. So that just freaked me out even more. So I don't know. I don't, my wife doesn't like to talk about it at all. She always is afraid that, you know, any talking about it is going to somehow give it power. And, you know, I don't know. I know it all, you know, it scares the bejesus out of me. I've always, you know, my stance has been, you know, I don't know if ghosts, you know, are real or if they're not. But I've always felt like I want to be the last person to find out for sure. Sorry for the long call. I've always wanted to, you know, share that with people. The list of people that are I'm willing to share that with, you know, in person are, is very short. So it's nice to have an outlet to talk about stuff like this. Yeah, I guess that's about it. Thanks, guys.
I really am not too worried about whether it's a human ghost or not.
Okay.
Because it really sounds like, you know, for a long period of time, this has just been a child playing with other children.
Sure.
But I would say it's a good time to maybe see if the asking it to leave idea works.
I would also say get a metal detector and walk around. And a shovel. Well, and see what you find.
Depending on how old it is, though, you may or may not find anything.
Well, if there's jewelry in anybody, that's probably still down there. A little bit of metal.
Would nails pick up from that far down?
Well, as long as they were metal. I mean, I don't know. I don't know how deep down a metal detector senses. Probably depends on the type of metal detector you have and the strength at which it goes. I've never actually used one. But I'd imagine, like anything, there's various grades of... You know, this one's going to go to the, you know, molten layer of the earth, and this one's going to go 2 inches, depending on what you're getting.
No, I would ask it to leave if, you know, it really is becoming an issue. It doesn't sound like it's been that big of a deal as far as what it's done. It just wants to play with the kids.
That may be the quick and easy fix. Mm-hmm. It really might be. Thank you for sharing that. I was thinking it'd be funny. Just having someone walk around and go, oh, there used to be a cemetery around here. I swear, you know, how unsettling that would be.
Yeah.
I was thinking, oh, this would be hilarious, a hilarious joke to play on you. Because recently we were down, there's a little restaurant that's near where we live. And, it's near the area where, the book, The Shepherd of the Hills took place. In fact, this is literally the land that it took place on.
Yeah.
We are sitting on it. And it's a whole, you know, it's a neighborhood.
It's a huge area.
Huge area. We don't like own the ranch of Shepherd of the Hills, but we are there. It's miles and miles and hundreds of homes, but this is where it took place. And we were having dinner down at this restaurant, and we overheard the table next to us. Actually, it wasn't even overheard. It was like flat out the person sitting there said, you ever read the book Shepherd of the Hills? and I personally haven't, but I know about it. I know what it is, as and you do too. I was like, no, but I know what you're talking about. Like this right here, this is the grandson of the author, correct? Or the people it was based on?
And before everybody calls bullshit on us,
yeah.
That technically is a fictional novel,
okay.
But it is based on real people and a real homestead.
Yeah.
And the real people were J.K. and Anna Ross, and they were kind of founders of the area. But anyway, their grandson, who's 99 years old, was sitting at the table next to us.
Mm-hmm.
And he was telling us about how as a little boy, he would go down and the creek that's down the cliff from our house is where he'd go and, you know, swim and drink out of the water. And
And it used to be a farmstead area where they raised in this area. Was it cattle or what was it? Sheep?
It was sheep first and then cattle.
Cattle till years later. And then eventually it got developed into neighborhoods. But it was just really interesting hearing some of the history of the area. And so in my mind, I'm going back to that moment and thinking, oh, this would be hilarious if I could set this up where we're at a restaurant again. And I pay an elderly individual who knows the area to just talk a little bit loudly to the person they're talking to, but enough where you're going to pick up on it. And they say something, that area right over, and they give the name of our road.
Mm-hmm.
I used to have all sort of, satanic rituals down there. And there's a lot of bodies that were buried into that. This, something horrible. Just insert horrible things here that would coincide with where we live. And then just like, just as we're sitting there having a chicken sandwich, just watching your eyes get bigger.
Never underestimate my ability to do research.
I know.
I would debunk that shit in 2 hours.
You're turning around to that's bullshit. I know for a fact that didn't happen. That was on the cliff over there.
Yeah.
But I just, the thought, it's almost like the old show Bloopers, or Candid Camera.
Sure.
Kind of like that, where it's just, what the hell?
Off the Rockers would be perfect for that.
A good show, yeah.
The Betty White one where the old people do things.
That and the last version incarnation of this stuff, Punk'd. Remember Punk'd?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
I have no idea if there's a show out there like that now for the youngins.
I think Off Their Rockers is still on.
Is it still on?
I think so.
I don't know if that was ended or...
It's hilarious.
That was a funny one. So anyway, 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. One more story today. Hi.
Hi, Brewskis. My name is Nani. I'm calling from California. I just got done listening to one of your older episodes from June 2016. I started listening actually maybe a month ago, and I'm going backwards. Only because it's easier, and that's fine, but I'll continue once I'm done. I'll start listening to the newer ones, but I just really had to share a story with you guys because I was listening to the episode Repossessed, and it actually had a couple of Hmong people write in talking about shaman and the blood oath and sleep paralysis, which I am Hmong myself, and I just had a call. And also there's the story by, I forgot her name, but she's from Canada. She went to Mexico and she saved the guy from drowning by hearing his voice in her head, which was really crazy. And that was just a really great episode. I'm at work now, but I just wanted to share also that both of my parents are shamans, and I'm still not really familiar with everything about it. I just know that growing up, ever since I could remember, my dad was a shaman. I mean, he's still a shaman. He just doesn't practice it anymore. He's older and he doesn't have that strength, and he's been sick too. So, and my mom, we found out she was a shaman when I was 15. And, from what I understand, how you become chosen as a shaman is you become really sick. Basically, you're on your deathbed. And I only know this because I was 15 at the time my mom got really sick for months. It was like 2-3 months. She was she couldn't eat. She lost a lot of weight. She became very tiny. She couldn't get out of bed. We didn't know what was wrong. We took her to the hospital. Doctors couldn't find anything wrong with her. They're like, she's fine. But you could tell her face, like she just, she was not herself. She was pale. She just looked sickly, and we're all scared. And my dad is not really in our lives, so it was just basically my mom, I'm the youngest, my sister, and my brother. And my oldest sister, but she lives out of state. So basically it was just, you know, me and my two siblings taking care of my mom. So it was very scary for us. But eventually my dad did help. He found a shaman that was able to help my mom. Even though my dad's a shaman, he wasn't able to help her. I think you have to kind of, I don't really understand it, but he had to seek someone else that was able to help her. And so it was a lady, I believe, and she told my mom that, you know, you're supposed to practice, you know, you're supposed to learn and practice shaman, because I think her spirit guides were making her sick. And so she started practicing, and she has to practice for the rest of her life. She still practices now, and she is much better. But she still gets sick here and there. And I think maybe when she doesn't practice enough. But yeah, I just want to share that. And I have many stories from when I was a kid that I would love to share with you guys too. But also because of the story of the episode I just listened to, I just have to tell you this quick story. A couple years ago, I was living by myself in my apartment. And it's like a sleep paralysis, but my culture, they believe that if you go out late at night, sometimes you could come upon a spirit, because they believe that, you know, from midnight to 3 or whatever, that around those hours, that there's spirits wandering out. So it's, you know, best to not go out. But, you know, being in my 20s and going out late at night, living alone, I would come home late, you know, 1, 2 in the morning. And so this one night I went out with a couple of my girlfriends. We went to like this club, and I get home, go to bed. It's in the morning. I believe I didn't go to work the next day. I know it was very bright, and how my bed was set up, to the left side is the window, to the right is just a wall. So I was sleeping on my stomach facing the window. You know, so my right arm is like kind of hanging over the bed, and I just felt, you know, the sleep paralysis coming. We just felt it, you know, in the room. And so I was like, I couldn't move. My eyes were open, and I could hear, and I felt, I couldn't see him. I felt a guy laying on my other side, the side of the wall where I couldn't see. And I hear him whisper in my ear, "Nani, help me." But he said, "Help me," in Hmong. And that freaked me out, because first of all, he knew my name. And second, he was speaking in Hmong. He knew I was Hmong. And that just freaked me out even more. And I don't know why I had this image of him being like all blue. And he's kind of like, I don't know, I just felt him like he was a big blue guy. And it's silly to say, but I could almost picture him like the Hulk, maybe not as huge as the Hulk, but he looked like the Hulk, but blue. And and it's weird because I could see my fingertips, right? Like I told you, my hand was hanging over the bed. And after he said, "Help me," he blew in my ear very hard, and it was like, I could hear it and I could feel it. And as soon as he blew on me, I saw my fingertips started turning blue like him, and it was slowly going up my arm towards my body. And I freaked the fuck out. In my head, I was like, he's gonna make me blue like him, and I'm gonna die. Like, this is it. If I don't, you know, get out of this, I'm gonna die. And somehow I got out of it, and I could not sleep the rest of the, you know, morning. So I just got up, and I was scared. So I think I just went to my mom's house, because I didn't want to be alone. So Yeah, that's a story. I have plenty about my mom, about me. I feel like me and my siblings, we are sensitive too. And I hope to share more with you guys. Thank you. I really, really enjoy your podcast. I listen to you every day, on the way to work, on the way home, before bed, sometimes at work when I have time. But yeah, I listen to you guys every day. And keep up the good work. And I hope this podcast continues because I do not want to stop. Thank you for listening.
Thank you for sharing your experience and your story with us. Very interesting, and really telling it of it being a conscious entity, not only knowing your name, but then being able to speak that language as well. Showing there's something there that obviously knows you, and it was there trying to communicate a message specifically to you. We appreciate you sharing that experience with us very much, and thank you for the kind words, and thank you for listening. All right, that's going to wrap up our program for today. Thank you all for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online. We greatly appreciate it. If you like our show, help keep us on the air. Become an EPP Extra Podcast person. You sign up to do that on our website at ghostpodcast.com. Get access to all of our bonus episodes and exclusive video content, and keep us on the air. That's really how that is done. $5 a month is all we ask, or you can sign up for a full year. We'll give you one of those months free and a bunk bed bill as well. So check it out at ghostpodcast.com and help keep this thing alive. Until next time, for Jenny Bruschi, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.